Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for July 17th. I'm your host, Paul White. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9, we return after a one-day hiatus from our 1 Corinthians journey. We did a Q&A yesterday, answered an email question. If you have a question you'd like for us to explore on the podcast, send me your email at ddp@paulwhiteministries.com. We don't reply to that email box, but that's the incoming box for podcast questions. So let us know. We see what we can do. 1 Corinthians 4, quick context review. Remember, Paul has set himself as a servant of Christ and a steward of the mysteries of God. He's included Apollos in that because he says that I'm talking figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos these things. And these things are that servanthood of Christ and that steward of the mysteries of God. Talks about what makes you different from one another. Really, the top of that seventh verse closer in the Greek to what distinguishes you from one another. What do you have that you didn't receive? And then, as we said a couple of days ago, Paul gives that great eighth verse, you're already full, you're already rich, you've reigned as kings without us, and indeed I could wish you did reign that we also might reign with you. We didn't comment too much on the end of that eighth verse. I think it's Paul saying to the Corinthians, you are blessed, you are prosperous, you are full, you live like kings, it's what I want for you. I just wish we were able to reign that way with you. They're not able to reign that way. And Paul gives insight into what he means when he says, verse 9, for I think that God has displayed us, the apostles, last as men condemned to death, for we've been made a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. And this is another, this last statement is another statement that I think preludes something coming up in this book, something we talked about back in verse 5 when Paul talked about the Lord coming. And when you get a little deeper into Corinth, and we'll get there, Paul starts talking quite eschatologically. Corinthians is not often thought of as an eschatological book. I don't think that it is per se, but it doesn't ignore the fact that Paul and the early church believed they were living at the end of something. I tend to believe that they were living at the end of the world as they knew it, the world of Moses and sacrificial offerings and temple worship and the Jewish expressions of religion. They were going to see that earth pass away, that heaven on earth pass away. And so there's going to be all those warnings of end of the world, and we who are in the end. And so this phrase, God has displayed us, the apostles, last, I'm not willing to make the argument that there can be no apostolic office past this. I think that this is contextually bound. It's Paul saying, we the apostles who you know, the Apolloses and the Pauls of the world, have come along at the end of this thing to be condemned to death. Paul's admitting his own death at the hands of somebody who is going to defend the system is quite prescient and definitely true. He will lose his life. I don't know exactly how Apollos dies. History tells us about Peter's death being an upside-down crucifixion later in life. Paul loses his head. He's decapitated. That's at least the thought for the gospel's sake. But these guys don't back down from this message of Jesus. I like what my friend Lynn Hall says. The early church apostles don't lose their lives because they preach that if you accept Jesus, you get to go to heaven when you die. The early church apostles lose their lives because they're preaching that a new king has come and the other kings aren't as good. In other words, if all you were preaching was someday you get to go to heaven when you die, nobody's going to kill you for that. But if you're preaching something's changed and you need to line up with it, well, that might get you in trouble. And it does. Paul says, we're condemned to death. We've been made a spectacle to the world. both to angels and to men, that phrase in the ninth verse, made a spectacle to the world, is literally the Greek for theater. So we've been made a spectacle like theater, both to angels and to men. Men and angels are watching us. I don't think Paul means angels think we're a joke. The word spectacle, we've sort of co-opted that a lot of times to mean something foolish, or, you know, like my mom used to say, don't make a spectacle of yourself. I think what she meant was don't do stuff that's going to make people look at you like you're weird, you know, which is honestly probably pretty good advice either way. But I think that what Paul is saying is that we've been made something to look at as if we're members of a theater. We're stared at as people playing a role, and both angels and men are doing that. So the fact that he throws in angels, I think, talks about, and you could say messengers and men, and some have tried to make the argument in this verse that this is talking about the messengers of Judaism as making a spectacle. I'm open to it. I don't know that I buy it as the end all. I do believe that angels watch what we do and who we are. It's quite fascinating. Imagine how it must be to see humanity react. 10, we're fools for Christ's sake, but you're wise in Christ. We're weak, but you're strong. You're distinguished. We are dishonored. I don't believe that Paul's being sarcastic. I don't see why he would be. I think he genuinely celebrates the success in the natural of his Corinthian people. Remember, this is his church, man. He built this. He helped build this in the 18th chapter of Acts. And so I think that he's celebrating who they are and what they are. The fact that and I think it sounds more like this, I'll be out here being a fool for the sake of Christ so that you can walk in the wisdom we're giving you. I'll be out here appearing to be weak so that by our weakness out in front, you are strong. I'll be out here taking dishonor so that you can be left to look distinguished. This is part of Paul's description of what it means to be a servant and a steward. I'm the one out here taking the shots, being made to look a fool sometime, so that you can sit back and glean the wisdom of my mistakes. I'm weak in so many areas so that you may appear to be strong because I focus all of the attacks on weakness. I think it's what good shepherds do for sheep. It's they take the areas of the sheep's deficiency and they put it upon themselves so that the sheep can rest. And it seems as if what Paul is doing here. We'll work 11, 12, and 13 tomorrow in this passage. I'll see you then. God bless.